Let's get going. A lot of things I need to cover today, so let's get that done. Let's begin with a word of prayer and orienting to God the Holy Spirit working with us this morning in our worship together. I do wish, and I pray, and try to encourage that we have more people come back and worship with us from this assembly, and get some people back in. I even want to get some young people, children, and I mean little children. And we've got still areas, and so we need to get back to prayer and get back to the plan of God in these things. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the freedom that we enjoy to open the Bible, to study the Word of God, and then, Heavenly Father, to live it in our lives. We pray, Father, that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things this morning we worship together. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. All right, we're going to begin with the song.
Yeah, would you join us in singing hymn number 337? Hymn 337, The Solid Rock.
Let's stand together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, rest in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Okay, thank you. I'm good there. Okay. First of all, let's talk about things that are going on. And what if you all know how Brian is today?
Brian's probably resting. He had three drill team father-daughter dance performances for 3 days in a row.
Wonderful. Very good for him.
So he did a good job. They haven't got the results from the PET scan, which was Thursday, other than the fact that he has a bolt in his back cage, you know, all the back surgery, that has broken off. So along with the lung issue, he's got a bolt out of place in his back. And so let's be in prayer about his pain level. before he has during the surgery, before the surgery and during the surgery for the back, because he can't get any relief from that.
All right, the surgery is not going to be stopped because of this other.
No,
okay,
there.
Very good.
Do that Wednesday.
Very good. All right.
Is it Wednesday or Tuesday, Pat, the surgery?
I don't know.
I think it's Tuesday.
July.
Yeah, I think Brian's surgery is Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay.
Unless it changes. Yeah, that's what Larry had told me, because Tish goes in to meet with a surgeon on Tuesday also, and I said it's going to be a very prayerful day.
Let's just pray all week.
I know.
Definitely start praying heavily today, tomorrow, Tuesday, and for the teachers, or the doctors, for himself, and the family. And how's Tish doing?
Not too good.
Yeah.
She doesn't have any iron flowing through her body right now. She has no energy. So I forgot to call Leslie to ask, but of course she's been in all our prayers.
Yeah.
But she definitely is making the decision to start dialysis.
Yes.
Okay.
That was
so
good.
You're aware of that. So yeah, just keep praying for her, because that's not going to get to start right away. First thing she's doing Tuesday is meeting with a surgeon to find out where they're going to put the port. And then it takes time for that to heal before they can start this. And Leslie and Tish need to go through several classes learning how to do it, because it will be home. They'll be doing it at home.
Okay, we'll be in full prayer.
Yeah.
All right, any other prayer requests that we need to go through? Yes.
Rick got news on a few days ago that one of his high school friends was found dead in his home. We don't know if it was self-inflicted or if it was like maybe cleaning a gun accidentally, but his sister took the police in because they couldn't get him to respond.
Okay.
He'd been there for 2 days. So,
how long has he known him?
Since before high school.
Wow, very good.
So he doesn't have any, his parents are long gone, and he is, he's got two sisters and a nephew. Just be in prayer for the family. You know, with situations like this, you don't know what's going on.
Definitely be in prayer. Thank you. Any other prayer requests? How are things going to be going for the young people?
Lots going on, and all good stuff. So the Liberty Diner is going to be a grab and go this year, just kind of like we had last year. So if you want to support that, is there a text or something that's been out?
Leslie's been putting stuff out about the grab and go if you want to make a donation. But really, the big diner this year, in-person celebration, is the senior celebration. There are 39 seniors that are in some way connected with Liberty over the years that are graduating. I mean, if y'all want something to pray about, pray for those 39 seniors that are getting ready to go to college, wherever they're going, start working, and going to be in the world. We've been praying for them.
Are we going to get their name pictures up there?
We're about to take down, so if y'all want to update on the picture wall back here of all of our youth, we're about to take down about 22 pictures.
Oh, no, that's my congregation.
There are about 22 pictures are going to come down of McKenzie's group of seniors in college that are graduating. Y'all know McKenzie's getting married. I mean, these kids are moving into the next stage of their life.
Okay.
So we're going to get smaller pictures to put up because we're going to keep praying for them, right? But we got to make room for these 39 graduating seniors. So even though we're taking some down, Herman, this number is still growing of pictures.
Let's throw it over here. I love that congregation.
Well, stop praying for them, guys. They are out in the battle and in the world, and many of them are pursuing the Lord every day and are spreading the gospel and spreading the word.
And Kevin, the thing started verse 19. There was hardly anyone here, and that was the congregation. They smiled, laughed at me, and all that. So, all right. Any other prayer requests?
We also finished the flower sale. Pat Phil hosted once again and did all that organizing, and Terry had all the orders ready to go. I heard Pat Phil saying that was the smoothest it's ever gone. We had many flowers ordered because so many people had lost stuff from the ice storm.
Yes.
So that was really a blessing for our ministry, and people came and picked up, and God kept the rain away so we could get those flowers. We got donations, flower purchases, but also
we don't know what they're
yet. Yeah, I'm sure Leslie will update us.
Okay, good. All right. All right, any yes?
My mom has to have a procedure tomorrow, and they're still concerned about her anemia. Her blood's not right, and she's losing it, is what he says to her. But they can't figure out how. And anyway, prayers for my mom.
Absolutely.
I'm taking her in the morning bright and early to a procedure, so maybe they can find it.
Keep us posted. We'll be in prayer. Keep her posted. Any other prayer request? Okay, it's been close to a year, May, and we've really stopped the part of worship dealing with the offertory. And Jeff and I were talking, and Jeff said, let's just get it going. So we're going to go back to putting the offertory around. It's not any kind of pressure or anything like that. No new rules about giving of God. Huh? Yeah. Oh, listen, that's the way they used to do it. That's the way they used to do it. Absolutely. Yeah. They'd take a long stick. And if you didn't give, they'd keep poking you until you gave something. And, years ago, I'm sure very few of you will even remember in this, but Ma and Paul Kettle. And Paul would be at church, and each about nine children would just go through with nothing. And so finally he put down a card, said, I owe you. let's begin with a word of prayer on the offertory. Heavenly Father, it's a joy and a privilege to serve you, to be a part of the program that you have designed, and to be part, Heavenly Father, to help support it. Prayer, attendance, and money. And Father, we pray now you receive the offerings we're about to give. You'll continue to use this assembly, the young people, and get us new children, new people back in, Father. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, does anyone not have the handout, What is the Grace of His Forgiveness? You want to not have it? All right, we're getting it for you now. Getting it for you now. Getting it for you now.
First time you've ever done these note things.
Anybody else?
There you go. My stepbrother needs it. Okay, here we are. What is the grace of His forgiveness? Now, we've had several studies on forgiveness, but this is one that I've not done too very many times over the last 46 years. But we're going to go through and talk about and note just various issues about forgiveness. So, let's function on the Holy Spirit to open our head and our eyes to the Bible, to what God is doing as far as forgiveness is concerned. So let's begin with the word of prayer as we go into our study. Heavenly Father, one of the greatest blessings you gave to us and give to us is the forgiveness of sins. That's not an issue any longer. All that is at issue is to believe on Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you've already made the decision of forgiveness. Give us, Heavenly Father, the understanding of the impact of this in our lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name and for His sake. Okay. As I go through these things, if you've got any questions, please feel free to just get your hand up there and let's find out. If I don't know the answer, I'll tell you I don't know, or we'll find it, and I'll ask Phil. He'll tell you. And so let's begin with number one. Where does it say that Jesus bore all the sins of the world? Where does it say that in the Bible? All right, you've got several different choices. 1 John 2:2. For he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Hebrews 10:17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, talking about Jesus Christ, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. 1 John 4:14, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And then John 3:17, for God did send this Son into the world to judge, did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So the main thing here is, he said, did say it, it's in the Word. Now, point two, question number two. Where does it say that unbelievers will not suffer for sins at the great white throne judgment? This is a very important part. Here, the unbelievers, great white throne, a lot of people think they're going to pay for their sins. A lot of people think they've got to answer for their sins. Well, that is not the case. There are several passages. 1 John 2:2, they've had the propitiation for their sins. Revelation chapter 20:11-15, they are not judged for sins and not for the bad that they've done in their world, in their life, but will be judged according to their deeds, which refer to relationship with Jesus Christ, their deeds that are good. And so, in other words, what happens is, unbelievers, the great white throne judgment, rejected Jesus Christ as Savior, and they depended upon their good works to get into heaven at this time, and it won't work. All right, number three, and by the way, any questions, raise your hand. Number three, why does God the Son forgive sins? Why does God forgive sins? This one is rich, much in it. God does not forgive our sins because we deserve to be forgiven. We cannot earn forgiveness. We all are born into the world in sin, as it were, and we do not earn or deserve to be forgiven. A lot of preachers still like to talk about, well, you've got to forgive your sins. Ask for forgiveness of sins. That's not true, people. It's already taken care of. God has already made the decision to give forgiveness. Let's note four reasons. One, he forgives sins for his own sake. Not our sake, his sake. Isaiah 43:25. Even I, the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. He does it for his own sake so that he can move on. Now, let me just quickly add on that. Later on, we're going to come into man, us, giving forgiveness to people. One of the reasons we have to forgive one another in life is right there, is that we can just forgive, it's over, not an issue anymore. And you're into a wonderful fellowship with them. But we'll come back to that. Two, He forgives us so that He will be feared by mankind, and mankind will remain holy before Him. Psalm 130, verse 3. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be feared or reverend. So He did it so that He will be feared. Because people, let's face it, if we come into this with these sins, and He hasn't taken care of them, going to be great fear. It's going to be hell forever. That's what, because there's no way we're ever going to get rid of them. So we need to understand that it is by having fear, having respect for who and what He is. Now, the third one. His riches and His grace. Why has God forgiven sins? Because of His riches and His grace. Ephesians, which we're in the midst of studying, 1, 7, and 8. According to the riches of His grace, which He lavished over us in all wisdom and insight. So, He forgives us right there because of the richness of His grace. It's total grace. Just another one of those grace things with God. And then finally, 4, why did He forgive? Why does He forgive? And why did He forgive sins? Because of His love. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you who pardons wrongdoings and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of His possession? He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in unchanging love. All right, point 4. Number 4 question in all of this study. Define forgiveness. This is not easy. This is not easy to do here. Take a lot more time than what we're going to be doing on it, but I'll just give you a flow through it of what we're dealing with. Does the Hebrew or the Greek words always mean forgiveness? Or do the words actually mean something else other than forgiveness? And I'm just going to write to and tell you, it's going to be a lot of times has nothing to do with forgiveness. It has to do with that we're no longer paid for those sins, no longer talk about those sins. They're taken care of. But forgiveness is still there and needs to be done. Now, let's go through this. To define and understand forgiveness is to realize there are several other words to explain what happens at the cross work of Jesus Christ. One, not everyone is forgiven at the cross. This is going to be so difficult for some people to accept and to grasp. But let me just tell you, this is something that's going to happen to you when you repent and when you believe in Jesus Christ. God is going to forgive, and it's going to make a different relationship with Him. If you're not forgiven, they're just not made an issue. They're taken care of by the cross work of Christ. But your relationship with Him is changed and is not full. Okay. Now, one, not everyone is forgiven at the cross. Two, so what about those who are not forgiven at the cross? The Greek word aphesis is defined as those who are released, are suspension of punishment, are remission of sins. That's not forgiveness. Those are not forgiveness. Released, suspension of punishment, remission of sins. Those are not forgiveness, but they're taking away sins out of the whole relationship with God. This made clear in Matthew 26:28, speaking of Jesus Christ suffering on the cross. Matthew 26:28, "For this is my blood of the covenant," reference to his spiritual blood, "which is poured out for many for remission, for suspension of punishment of sins," not forgiveness, but poured out the suspension of punishment. There'll no longer be punished because of those sins. He took the punishment for sins so that no one else will ever suffer for those sins. On the cross, he took all the judgment of the sins. Every individual who first of all becomes a member of the human race is released or suspended from punishment. Why? Because Jesus Christ receives the punishment for the cross, on the cross for the sins of everyone. It's already been done. Not everyone is forgiven, but no one is to be punished for their sins, because Jesus Christ suffered for all the sins of the world on the cross. Is forgiveness received by everyone? Is everyone going to receive forgiveness? No. Everyone is suspended from suffering for sins. Their sins were taken care of on the cross of Jesus Christ. To be forgiven, you must be expiated or repentance and faith. Now, each year in Houston, we go to the pastor's conference. And, oh, I guess it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Jody Brown and I were there, and we were talking. It started off with one man, and he said, "No, everyone is forgiven." And some other pastors sit there, and they said, "No." I was so shocked, but very pleased that others said, "No, not everyone is not forgiven." And it got into a little discussion to involve in the group, but I was so pleased that there were others that did not that did understand what we're talking about here. Now let's read Psalm 86:5. "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abandoned in loving kindness, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you." Not everyone calls upon him. Those who call upon him, he's ready to forgive. Okay. 5. What is the issue about forgiveness? What those who will be saved? What about the issue of those in, about forgiveness with those who will be saved? This is dealt with in the 34 things that God provides every believer at the point of vermin, the second of salvation. Let's just namely look at number 5. All sins are judged by the substitutionary spiritual death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Romans 4:25, Ephesians 1:5, 1 Peter 2:24. Then number 34, the believer has all sins and transgressions blotted out, Isaiah 43:22, 25, Isaiah 44, 22, Ephesians 1:7, our study, Ephesians 4:36, Colossians 1:14, 2:13, and 3:14. Not only the removal of sins, but one responds to God by faith in Jesus Christ, the establishment of expiation, and sets these things up for salvation and a relationship with God of the forgiveness of sins. Most people start thinking that everyone has their sins forgiven. But this is not the biblical case. Every unbeliever's sins are remitted, but not forgiven. But every believer not only has their sins remitted, but also forgiven as part of the salvation with Jesus Christ. Any question? Okay. Yes.
So is it reasonable to say that the sins are taken care of, but the individual is not forgiven, the relationship there is still broken?
Yes. That's exactly a good way to word it. That's a good way to word it.
Because if somebody harmed me and got put in jail and were let out, right, or they didn't, you know, somebody else paid that price, the penalty's paid.
Yes.
But until I forgive them as an individual, there's no relationship.
That's very good. Very well said. Yes.
Now that,
all right. Very good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Six. Were all sins forgiven on the cross? Were all sins forgiven on the cross? A, all sins were not forgiven at the cross. B, all sins were removed at the cross, but not forgiven. And C, punishment for all sins was paid for, but not forgiven. Only when the person believes in Jesus Christ are the sins truly forgiven between their relationship with God and themselves. Number seven. So, what happened on the cross in regards to forgiveness? What happened on the cross in regard to forgiveness? Everyone, unbelievers and believers' sins were paid for on the cross. Doctrine of propitiation. 1 John 1, 1 and 2. But B, forgiveness takes place only when one believes in Jesus Christ as Savior and they are reconciled with God. It is a free and wonderful place to have the sins taken out in a personal relationship with Him. See, unbelievers are neither forgiven nor reconciled. Reconciliation takes place by faith alone in Christ alone. Eight, what happens to all sins of those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, and what happens to them? So it's a two-part question. What happens to all the sins of one who refused to believe in Jesus Christ, and what happens to them? First, A, their sins are paid for by the spiritual death of Christ. They are therefore suspended from punishment on the cross, since Jesus took their place on the cross in suffering. B, they are not condemned because of their sins, but are go to the great white throne judgment for rejection of Jesus Christ. That's what happens to them personally. 9, what happens at the cross to all those who do believe. Not if you're forgiven, but believe. What happens to all those who do believe? A, they are forgiven of all sins, past, present, and future. B, God does 34 things for them immediately. C, being forgiven means they are reconciled with God forever. And there's the great issue. You want to have this reconciling with God. Not just a removal of the sin, but a relationship with God. 10. What did you do to receive forgiveness of sins? By faith. When you believed in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. But again, everyone is given remission of sins. Not forgiven, but remission. 11. What does it mean to forgive? Another difficult one that's going to take a time if we spend it, a lot of time on it. But let's take a look at it. What does it mean to forgive? The essence of forgiveness is giving. To give means to release from the wrong he has done. We give away the right to retaliate against this person. It is so important to know and understand what forgiveness means and what happens if you forgive. To forgive means to release that person what he owes me. In other words, the person at the cross who's there and has his sins remitted, he's not in a relationship with God. He's not in a relationship with God. We want to have a relationship with God. So that's what we're talking about here. To forgive means to release that person what he owes me. We might say that forgiveness presents a real problem to God. Just, okay, it's got to be, here are all these people, all their sins. Now, what's God going to do about it? He's got to do something. He's righteous. We all have sinned. So how can God say that he will forgive us our sins? This is where we ought, once again, understand the power of Jesus Christ by dying on the cross, paying for the sins of the world. Again, this is why we should give thanks to Jesus Christ daily to forgive in our lives, for bearing the debt that we owed for our sins. And he has paid the death on the cross. The death of our sins is death. That's the debt. Jesus died for us, and now we have the opportunity to simply believe in Jesus Christ and gain life eternal. 12. How should the forgiveness of sins affect your life now that you're a Christian? Now, you think, well, it's going to be a whole book. No, it's very simple. Look what it says. Imitate God. By forgiving others because of the work of Christ on the cross. Ephesians 4:32, Ephesians 5:1, which we will get to. But that, what do I do? What am I to do as a Christian with sin? Forgive. Just same thing God does through Jesus Christ We do the same thing. When we study this later, we'll see how you've got to have that aspect to be like God. See, this is one of the problems with a lot of unbelievers. When they have problems with others, they just let it go. They're easier than Christians. A lot of times Christians are even, you did this wrong, and boy, they're really going to be tough. We have a reason for forgiveness of sins. The work of Christ on the cross. We have a reason. Do we have that forgiveness? The relationship is a study. It could be a husband, father, family, friends. Your relationship is now brought together with forgiveness. Amen. 13. What about those passages that teach that if you, as a believer, do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven? That's causes a lot of problems trying to understand what's going on with this one, how it works. Let's just mainly take a look at some things. First of all, Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people for their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people, then your Father will not forgive your offenses. This is as believers now. I'll talk about that. Mark 11:25. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father, who is in heaven, will also forgive you for your offenses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive your offenses. Now, this would take us into a good understanding of what we mean by forgiveness, even for the unbelievers. We talked about an unbeliever. Not all unbelievers are forgiven. There are some believers that are some people that are forgiven. Why? Because they've changed their relationship with Christ. That's what we're talking about right here. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive your offenses, your relationship with Him. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous, so that He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. B. In the study of the passage by Jesus declaring of forgiveness, it says that those who are saved and now under the new kingdom do have the responsibility to forgive others. This is not given to unbelievers. This is for believers. So it must be in the new kingdom, do have the responsibility to forgive others. As in the teaching of to Peter, forgive 70 times 7. That's a believer to believers. 70 times 7. Keep on, keep on. And then C, not forgiveness by believer means that the believer carries in their heart, their soul, with bad attitude toward another. They harbor sins in their own souls. Therefore, they are in sin in his soul, and they need to make a recovery by faith in the Holy Spirit and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. In simple stating, husband, wife, family, friends, they do something, you do not forgive them. That means you carry in your soul that anger, hardness, bitterness, different attitudes, depending on the thing, but you're not right with the Holy Spirit. you're not forgiven. So therefore, that's your status quo. So it is better to forgive and be back into filling with the Holy Spirit and move on in your Christian life. 14. If all sins are forgiven at the cross, why does it say that Jesus has the authority to forgive sins? First, He is the one who is sent by God the Father for the payment of sins. And then, when Jesus was born for the human race, He had full authority in His humanity to pay for the sins. This is the clarity of Acts chapter 5, verse 31. He is the one, Jesus Christ, whom God exalts to His right hand as Prince and a Savior to grant repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Faith in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins. That's how you get it. Acts 10:43, all the prophets testify of Him, that though His name, that through His name everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. If you do not forgive, the forgiveness is not there, people. You want to have the forgiveness there by faith in Jesus Christ. Acts 13:34. Therefore, let it be known to you, brothers, that through Him, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Psalm 86:5. For You, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy in all who call upon You. That's where we come to Him, the point of salvation. 15. What does it mean about the forgiveness of the condition of your heart? That is a passage of the Word dealing with the condition of our heart and forgiveness. Acts 8:23. You have no part or share in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart will be forgiven. First issue here, every unbeliever has a heart that is not right before God. You want to get that done by faith. Then everyone must repent, change their heart to be positive to Jesus Christ, and saved after their heart is now right with God. That makes sense? Goes back to our understanding. You stand there, the sins are taken off, but you're not in recovery. You're not in a forgiveness of sins. So you want to get into a proper relationship so that the forgiveness brings you into that relationship with God. 16. What does baptism have to do with forgiveness of sins? I've thought I went through as many as all the questions I could come up, and if I forgot any, let me know, because I'll either put a brochure on here, and we might cover it some other time. But these are just multitude of things that come up about forgiveness. What does baptism have to do with forgiveness of sins? A, water baptism by John, is John the Baptist, Old Testament. John is Baptist, baptism of repentance. The word baptism means to be identified. John's baptism identifies the person with repentance. Repentance means to change your thinking. So here is repentance for changing their attitude toward Jesus Christ. Baptism and John the Baptist. Here is the confusion with most people. He speaks of water baptism for repentance. Mark chapter 1 verse 4. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John brought a baptism to reveal a difference to the Jewish people who believed in the coming of Jesus, not the Messiah, but of Jesus, not by name of Messiah, but now by name of Jesus, as their Savior. And Jews who refused to believe in Jesus. It was baptism of repentance that leads to the forgiveness of sins. And see, in the church age, the Holy Spirit will be given. Acts chapter 2, verse 28, Acts 2 to 38, Peter said, excuse me, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you got the forgiveness of sins you need, and then the gaining of the Holy Spirit. This baptism had nothing to do with water baptism in the church age, and has nothing to do with the church age. This was the baptism of repentance that leads to forgiveness of sins. Then they are forgiven by receiving the Holy Spirit in the church age. All right? Now, questions about forgiving others in life. I can't believe there are any questions. I'm going to get through too early here. All right. Yeah, that's it. Well, it's funny because when I was doing this, Kit works with these and gets them and ready to give them to y'all, and he puts on there, Herman, this is a Martha question. You might want to clarify it. So we got to do that.
Hey, Herman, I think there are a lot of questions. I think some of us are just trying to figure out how to ask them or what you answer.
Good.
Going back to the concept of sins are paid for by Christ at the cross.
Yes.
So sins are no, the penalty of sin is no longer an issue.
Right.
The forgiveness of sin is the issue with the relationship between us and God.
Yes.
The Father.
Yes.
So at the time we believe, we receive that forgiveness as one of the righteousness and the Holy Spirit and church age.
Exactly.
In the forgiveness of sins back in 1 John 1:9 and the other ones here, I'm challenged with understanding where our forgiveness impacts the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness that we have with God on our sins. I understand the filling of the Spirit, but I'm not seeing how that ties together with what's being said in those verses.
Okay, if I do not forgive...
Right.
The friend, I'm not right with God.
Okay.
I'm not right with the Holy Spirit. So he wants you to get back in right fellowship with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit by faith.
I guess I'm challenged with the language here. I don't know what it says in the Greek, but it specifically says God will forgive you of your offenses.
In what?
Let me go back up here because I want to make sure I'm stating this.
1 John 1:9.
So he will forgive us. Sorry, in Mark 11.
Oh, Mark 11. All right.
If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven forgive them, so that your Father will forgive you of your offenses. And then if you don't forgive them, then your Father will not forgive you of your offenses. I'm trying to figure out how you are taking that from our offenses. to the filling of the Spirit. I understand that it's trust.
Okay. That part doesn't talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit. The mark is the Old Testament. It isn't dealing with the Holy Spirit. John is dealing with the Holy Spirit. But he is dealing with being in the kingdom and forgiving other people. There are a lot of Matthew deals with it, deals with passages dealing with 70 times 7.
So what did you say about Mark?
Oh. Mark is Old Testament.
Old Testament forgiveness, the way they did in the Old Testament?
Rather than in the church age where the Holy Spirit's involved.
We've had this conversation before, and it is confusing. And I know it's trusting God, but it's the language in there that I'm having trouble with, because in my mind, all sins were forgiven at the cross, past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. And now but that's every day. And I understand that until you accept Christ, you don't have a relationship with God, because He's our intercessor. Is that what you're saying?
No, because there's not the forgiveness of sins. There is the removal of the penalty of the sins, the intention of the difficulty between you and God and sins, but the forgiveness sets up a relationship with the believer and God that the unbeliever does not have, even though he doesn't have sins. He doesn't have that relationship.
I see what you're saying. So, but we were all born with sin, right?
Yes, yes. So, all of us. Everyone.
So Christ took care of that on the cross, past, present. But I understand. So when we believe in Jesus, God the Father looks at us and reckons us perfect because of our faith in Christ.
Yes.
So that's the point of all the unbelievers, the Buddhists, everything. They're forgiven, but they're not saved.
They're not forgiven.
But they're not
forgiven, but saved.
Sins are
the penalty.
Yeah, the penalty is taken care of.
Yeah, it's the word.
It's the penalty of sin. It's not forgiven until we're believers.
Yeah.
It's when.
Okay, just a moment.
I know, we're all going.
On the forgiveness, because the forgiveness is received at the point of faith.
Yes, yes, yes.
Christ is paid, but we get the blessing of it. We get the forgiveness at the point of faith.
Yes.
So at the point that we become a believer, then all those sins, and they've all been paid for, but we've received the forgiveness for the ones that we've committed to that point. Is that...
Yes, and all of them.
An ongoing thing I'm asking, because we are told to continue trusting, as we know.
Yes.
In the Holy Spirit. Trust
yes.
The Spirit, we're restoring that relationship. So is that a continuing of that forgiveness given, and those sins paid... sins forgiven. Are you all seeing what?
Yes, you could. Yes. As a believer, go back into faith relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Sins are no longer an issue.
But that's for our spiritual life. That's for spirituality, correct? That's for
our spiritual life.
With God here. That doesn't mean, if we died and we haven't restored that relationship spiritually in this life, we still have salvation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We know that. I'm just trying to clarify with that.
Yes, you still have salvation. To put it in term, when you died out of fellowship. But a lot of people do that anyway. So that's what we're dealing with.
It might help here if we remember this distinction of our salvation from the penalty of sin and our temporal daily salvation from the power of sin in our lives.
Okay.
When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're righteous before God. That's freedom from the power of sin in our
yes.
lives. And it's that relationship, again, with forgiveness, it's all about restoring relationships at the point of salvation, where that penalty is set aside once and for all forever. But we still struggle in the power of sin in our life.
Yeah.
And the only way to overcome it is keeping in mind the work of Christ and having that relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, in our life.
Yeah, by faith. Yeah.
By faith.
Yeah.
And It's not going back to confession. It's always understanding that our need, our constant need of God, the Holy Spirit, in our life
is walking by faith.
And when we have sin in our life, we have that broken relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
fellowship.
Have any work of God in our life. We don't have the peace and presence of God, the Holy Spirit. In our
we're still in relationship with Him, but not temporarily.
Potential relationship.
Yeah.
Just like we have the potential for salvation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, very well said. Okay. Questions about forgiveness, forgiving others in your life. One, what is the basis of your forgiving another? Ephesians 4:36 says that we forgive each other for as God forgiven Jesus us in Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one and each other, whoever has a complaint against another, just as the Lord also forgave you, so much also should we forgive. Okay. Two, when you forgive another, we are forgiven, that we are forgiving that person freedom from the wrong that they have done. This is one of the reasons why God forgives us one another as unbelievers. That we are freed from our sins, but remember, God forgives because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and that is why we are to forgive one another, because He did it. Therefore, we do it. Three, the Mosaic Law. This was another one of those
Martha question.
Yeah, this is a Martha question on my work from Kit. The Mosaic Law and forgiveness. The Mosaic Law illustrates the requirements of the character of God to living the Christian life in the church age. In the church age, righteousness according to the Mosaic Law is an eye for an eye. That's not a bad thing. That's a righteous thing. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, bruise for bruise. Exodus 21. God's righteousness demands righteousness. That's where you have an eye for an eye. God's righteousness of the eye demands the eye. That's what it demands. If you sin before God, you owe God for your sin. Now, you should grasp how marvelous Jesus Christ is to us on the cross. He takes the wrong, belong to us, and He bore the judgment to Himself. So, always remember that God demands repayments for sins. Jesus Christ paid that payment for us. If you are freedom, that Christ is free, therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. That is a slavery that we owed for sin. Now, when we sin, when we do wrong, we should suffer death. But Jesus suffered in our place on the cross. We do not need to be forgiven of our sins because we made confession, but because Christ died on the cross. Colossians, our confession of 1 John 1:8-10 comes as sinners on confession. Not because we are forgiven if we confess, but that we live in the freedom we live because of what Christ did on the cross. But such we understand, but sure we understand the passage of 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So be aware of the truth on the cross from our sins. And if we refuse to acknowledge our sins, we are in effect denying that we have forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. We can just say, I already don't have it. Yes, you do. You do have it. Doing this to make God a liar, and that the sins are taken care of on the cross. So, confession does not make you forgiving of sins. You are already forgiven. But confession acknowledges the truth of what has already been accomplished for you on the cross. And this is why we should have forgiveness toward one another. 4. Why should I forgive? Why should I forgive? 1. God and Jesus instruct us to forgive one another. Therefore, we are to imitate God in forgiveness. 2. Not forgiving means to hold on to pain, resentment, danger, anger to other people, which means we are in sin in our souls. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. 3. Forgiveness sets us free to live our lives in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. 4. Not forgiving and holding on to sins hurts from one another means that we keep on living in the past their sins, what they have just accomplished. Luke 6:37, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Pardon and you will be pardoned. This refers to clearing of sins in our souls. And finally, 5, there are several things you should be aware of in your forgiveness of one another. For example, forgiveness does not mean that you have to become friends with that person again, but you do not have a bad attitude toward one another. So, well, we brought up some questions, and I'm glad. I have no problem that we have questions, wondering about these things. That we'll go over it again and again. We'll get these things down. We argue about this among ourselves as pastors. So, in this assembly, we've got to work through go through these things. And may I quickly add, if you listen to it and go through all this, and it's still in your mind, no, everyone is forgiven, that's okay. That's okay.
You're forgiven for that.
You're forgiven. Good. You're forgiven of that. You're forgiven of that. But this just deals with a good understanding of the relationship we have with God is what we want to do here. And this is what we argued about at the pastor's conference, not on the teaching, but just meeting and talking with one another. So this is what we had to do. You're going through these things. And if you do, that's fine. That's fine. Yes.
I think, too, what I believe, that confession and repentance, because we think of confession as
confessing our sins. Confession or repenting. Repenting is turn away from your sins, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to do that anymore, whatever that sin is in your life. So that's repentance. Confession is not... That's when we're, because we're already forgiven. We have to confess our sins.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do with the confession.
Yeah.
Okay?
I just need to make a point. Pat was right on... I was looking at my notes again, and I had gotten my communications mixed up. So his surgery is Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay.
Yeah, Brian's surgery.
We'll be in prayer Wednesday. Well, be in prayer every day.
Yeah, definitely.
Today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, be in fervent prayer for Brian and the family and the doctors. So we'll be able to get the thing.
I think my question is more linguistic because in my language where I grow up, redeem and forgive are two different things. And in my Catholic faith where I grew up, God redeemed us. God didn't forgive us. Those are two different things in my language.
Yeah.
So in English, does it actually have similar differences?
Yeah. What I'm finding now is how am I going to go back with you about what you've learned with the Catholic Church there on that? But that'd be the point. Yeah. Okay.
I'll make this comment. If Julie, especially people that are raised Catholic, we've been watching Spurgeon's life, Tyndale's life, Martin Luther King, his own prime. It is so good that we've totally enjoyed it, and you understand more about our salvation and what Martin Luther and Tyndale had to go through with the Bible, and it just kind of makes it clear, at least it did for me.
There are many, well, it was written in the, let's see, about 1850, there were 50 million believers killed by the Roman Catholic Church just because...
1450.
Huh?
Not 1850.
1450.
No, this is what I'm reading is when this is stated.
Oh, okay.
Stated.
Yeah.
And that at that time, there were some 50 million Christians killed, and in most cases, just because they wanted to read the Bible.
In English.
Just because they wanted to read the Bible and the language and pray and study about it. And it's really tough. And what is really interesting is our next study in Ephesians deals with this issue in the idea of the secret that we have in the Bible as Christians. And it was not studied. It was not studied for probably 1,500 years outside of Paul and the first, maybe part of the second century. And then it just went down. And yet here we need to be able to take it and study these things and understand them in our studies, which is what we will be doing in here. Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you very much. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We humbly bow on our feet in our ground before you to thank you, to praise you, taking the sins away. That we are no longer an issue. All the sins that we did, all the sins we may do, all are taken care of. That's overwhelming. We praise you, Father, that we now can take our lives, the power of your Spirit, and glorify Christ. Pray, Father, your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, these things understandable to us, and understand what you're doing. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.